We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
I got a guest in the house, and his name is Matt Spiegel. Let's go. This hour of the show is being brought to you by Menards. Save big money at Menards. And this segment is being brought to you by Spot Hero. And finally, here's a way you can save time parking. Use Spot Hero anytime you park. First-time users can enter promo code SMART for $10 off. Spot Hero, park smarter.
I believe that's pronounced Spothro, if memory serves.
Spothro?
Yeah.
Is that how it goes?
I think that's how it's pronounced. Just wanted to be here to help out, man.
Hello, Matt Spiegel.
It's a microphone and a muff. And Cans and Lawrence Holmes. Hello, man. Thanks for asking me to come over.
Hey, the Score Middle Children ride again.
We were the middle children. That goes way back. Our elders are back, right?
One is back.
Another back next week.
Oh, that's right. Terry is back next week. Mm-hmm. He will be hosting with Mac while Parkins is on vacation.
I think that's true. And then who were the younger kids when we were the middle children?
Well, I mean, Jason is kind of like the oldest of the younger guys.
Right. Zawoski.
Yeah. Shep.
Uh-huh. Tannehill. Brendan.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I felt like I hung around with all those guys. I think at Jason's house one time we watched the national championship game, Texas, playing, I think, Alabama. And I felt old.
So I think, yeah, the middle children, and I'm probably the youngest of the middle children, is like is like me, you, Fishman, Hood, like we're all in that like middle child range.
Well, we are the ones who are supposed to carry the torch from the elders and pass it on to the next generation while maintaining the tremendous tradition and stability that the Score is all about.
See, this is the why I didn't want to invite you in right there.
What? No. What did I do?
She's going to get me in trouble all of a sudden.
You're doing it. You are doing it, my friend.
I'm happy that you're here, though.
Hey, man, thank you.
I thought that we could talk a little bit of baseball, and I figured you may have wanted to talk a little bit about LeBron, and I know that you wrote about the idea of prepping for a show like every day but not doing a show.
Oh yeah. I've written about a lot of stuff. I've got the website going, which has been very fun and gratifying, at mattspiegel.com, or The Appreciator, because I appreciate things. That's what I do with like music, with Tributosaurus, take content that already exists in the world and help remind people why it's awesome. Like, all right, let's do a Night of Earth, Wind and Fire. Here's why this music is great, right? Or sports, hey, this stuff exists, let me help you appreciate it or whatever. I mean, that's my gig. So I've been writing there, and that's been fun. But what was the question?
That was a question, just like what you've been up to, that sort of thing.
I've been I'm percolating, lots of ideas percolating. And I'm ready and available to host. I'm hosting here.
For me, next week.
You are correct.
Next Friday night, you will be in for me.
That is right.
Which is another reason why I wanted to bring you on.
See, look at that. It's a beautiful thing. Symmetry.
I look ahead.
Kismet.
I look ahead and I plan a little bit.
It's me and Eric at home because apparently there's a sport called football, which is upcoming quickly.
Yeah, we're there. We're a week away from the Bears going to training camp.
Which is nuts.
It's really crazy, but I'm going to Canton to go see, because those are all the guys I cover.
That's awesome.
So I'm doing a show Friday night from the Hall of Fame.
That's great. How many are going for Brian? Is Peanut going? Is everybody going?
Dude,
I bet it's got to be huge.
They're all going.
He's loved. He's so loved.
And I can't.
I'm sure our boy Manily, my old partner Pat Manily's going. I'm sure they're all going.
I can't imagine. Like, there's part of me that's a little bit scared
of what they're gonna do.
Yeah. And, I work with two of them. I work with Alex and Lance. And,
right.
And, like, as soon as they heard, they were like, we're going. and if you've ever hung out with either one of those guys in Bourbonnais.
I was going to say, like, There were some certain kind of folks in Bourbonnais who circled the dates on their calendar when those guys were coming to town.
Yeah.
And if they're going to be there in Canton as well, then seems like old times. And whose kid is that?
Yeah.
I don't know. Why does that kid look like me?
Well, get that kid out of here. Doesn't look anything like me.
No pictures.
So I'm going to be down there. I think I'm going Thursday. I haven't decided if I'm going to the game or not because
the game doesn't matter.
I mean, it'll be on TV. I think I'm staying like in the suburbs of Cleveland because you can't even get close to Canton. Like all the hotels were.
It's a big class.
Yeah,
and even though T.O. will not be there, right?
I'm okay with that. Let that man live. If that's what he wants to do, he wants to hold his own party.
All right, but that's not why I called. That's not why I called.
No?
Here's why I called.
Okay, go ahead.
Do you have any idea of the damage you are doing to the finances of people who run movie theaters when you sneak all that stuff in? They don't make a dime on ticket prices. Like, I did that segment once a long time ago, and then I learned a lesson, and then it came up again, and I relearned the lesson. And yes, I'm here to be the joy killer on bringing free stuff into the theater, sneaking it in, because they make their money on the concessions.
I get that.
But you don't care about them.
A lot of places don't have what I need.
Like two Chipotle burritos?
Well, that's probably like, extreme.
Left like a 50-pack of chicken nuggets. That was the one.
That one, that's so great that guy said, give me that 50 of these chicken McNuggets. We're going to bring this. And the piece de resistance.
The case of beer bottles?
No.
I thought that was...
The sweet and sour. I got to have the sweet and sour dipping sauce for my 50 McNuggets.
How many sauces for 50?
That's... How many do you get? Because you get two, right? Don't you get two?
Look.
For 10? So does that mean you get 10 for 50?
You need 50. I mean, you need 10. Like, I would say it's 5 nuggets per sauce container.
Okay.
Like, after a fifth nugget... You're scraping the bottom of the sauce barrel.
So are you switching it up? Are you saying, let me have...
I always have.
Let me have a little barbecue.
Ranch.
Let me have ranch.
Yeah, I go back and forth between ranch and the sweet and sour. See, is what I've done historically.
These are the things that people need to know. No, I do feel... Speaks, I do feel bad that I'm doing that, but... I mean, I look at some of it, and I'm like, I just want a box of M&Ms. Like, that's it. I just need a little something.
Yeah. You don't need like a $14 carton of M&Ms.
I do like the places that will come bring you the food.
Oh,
like,
dude, I'm addicted. This is the problem now. I'm addicted to being treated like the man that I think I am. You know what I mean? Like, I deserve. Do these people have any idea who I think I am? Like, I'm going to sit down. You will serve me. Oh, yes, you will. And you will bring me everything that I want when I want it. And if you don't, then I shouldn't have gone there.
And I should have brought a box of M&Ms and a 50-pack of McNuggets with me into this place. But the place down here, the one like...
Block 37?
Yeah.
That's the bomb.
I'm all about it. Like, I will sit there, and I don't even sneak stuff into there. No, I just order.
Yep. Although one time I ordered sushi there, and my wife would not let me hear the end of it. She's like, you're ordering sushi at a movie theater. It was terrible.
I mean, yeah.
I know. What am I doing?
But I've been told, I'm not really a sushi eater, but I've been told that some of the best sushi in town is actually at O'Hare.
Really?
There's supposed to be a place in O'Hare.
I'm not going to make that special trip.
No, I know.
It's not going to be me.
The parking there is a nightmare. You don't want to do that. It's really, really scary. So wait, do you have a podcast now?
No, I don't.
When's that happening?
I don't know. I have a grand plan. I have the podcast of my dreams that exists on paper and in my brain. But I am dawdling just a little because I aspire to perfection.
No,
and
don't.
That sometimes gets in the way of content creation, as you know.
Don't dawdle.
I have other reasons of dawdling a little bit as well,
but that's the
main one.
Contractually. But don't dawdle. And here's why I think this. I say this to Jay all the time.
Yeah.
We are now at a place in media, which I think is great, where we can be like rappers in the 90s.
Yep.
We can sell our stuff. From the trunk.
Without a doubt. I saw your post on that. You did a little video post on that, and that was completely on point. And I remember, hell, I was producing Sound Opinions, the world's only rock and roll talk show with Jim DeRogatis and Greg Kot, when
MySpace?
Yeah, no.
SoundCloud?
What am I?
iTunes?
Napster.
Napster.
Dude, I was producing when Napster hit. That's... That's how old I am.
Let me tell you.
When Napster hit, I was producing, and slowly as we watched the music business decay from like 13 record labels to 11, and then the next week it would be 8 record labels, and then there was 4 record labels, and now I'm pretty sure there's 1. You know, I mean, the number, it's ridiculous. And then, you know, there's a couple small ones that have birthed back, but yes, direct, write to you and monetize yourself and brand yourself and all of that, you're exactly on point. Well, I'm still delivering content on my site as well as writing baseball for 670thescore.com.
Well, let me ask you, because I've been asking everyone who comes and talks baseball with me a couple of the same question.
Okay.
What do you think the Brewers need to do with the trade deadline?
The Brewers need to go ahead and cash in for that extra bit of offense. And I am not surprised to see them leading in the Machado conversation. And I would be surprised if they don't get that done. Don't you think their time is right the F now? I mean, obviously they did it with Kane and they did it with Yelich. And then they come up with guys like Aguilar out of nowhere when you think they're already loaded. And Keon Broxton comes up and steals the show for a week as the 6th outfield option. I mean, they're absurd, but time is now to cash in. And I'll be surprised if they don't get Machado, they'll get the biggest other bat they can get.
Now that's interesting because of all the people that we've asked about this, you're the only one that said offense. Most people say, well, now the Brewers need to go get a big number one pitcher to add to their rotation.
Maybe they'll get both. This is 10 years, I believe, to the month when they got CC Sabathia, who was brilliant for them down the stretch of that year, and they made it into the playoffs, that Prince Fielder team, right? Maybe they'll do that too. But I'd be... Maybe they'll do both because the division is what they have to win because of
they don't want to be in the wild card. No one wants to be in the wild card game. But you're right. I like the idea of we're at a point now in their growth as an organization where it's competition, that there is some heat between the Brewers and the Cubs. And there's a lot of stuff last year where the Cubs treated the Brewers like the little brother. There's a lot of stuff they were mad about going all the way back to, you know, Boz talking junk about what's his name? The Thames, him talking junk about him.
Right. Right. And Council being unhappy with the cancellation for no rain and then the selling tickets, doing the Nashville Predators version of the baseball thing. You know, where you don't want to sell tickets out of state. So, you know, that's where I think the Brewers will go. Cubs-wise?
What do you think?
They made their move with Darvish. And I don't think that there's another starter move that they're going to make. Even though, obviously, the time horizon is right now for them. But, how much is left is one question. What are you absolutely ready to part with? And Montgomery, I think, is going to stay there in the rotation whenever Darvish comes back. And Chatwood, Chatwood wouldn't pitch again right now. I'd invent
DL him.
DL him, invent the injury, long man him if you have to, although that's not Madden's style because there are no wasted spots on this roster. But invent a DL stint. You cannot watch that happen. They're 11th in starter innings pitched. They're 11th in starters whip out of 15 teams in the National League. And that just takes too big a toll eventually on a bullpen because you know how difficult it is to trust a bullpen and depend on a bullpen long term. And they're getting some great performances. But you can't keep throwing Chatwood out there to drive you crazy innings-wise and also just psychologically, here comes this guy to crap down his leg again.
It's bad for the defenders, too.
Oh, it's bad for the defenders. It's bad for the whole team to see your organization keep trotting a guy out there who drives you all nuts. And they don't know him well enough to root for him and have his back in full and trust him. He's got no track record. He's got absolutely no track record of having done it. So they're going to need to not let that man pitch if Darvish comes back.
Would you like to speak to your thoughts or your early thoughts on Javier Baez? Would you like to do that?
Sure.
Here on the score?
Well, it's funny because it goes in waves, man, because you talk baseball for as long as we do and you anticipate. I remember when Baez got drafted by Hendry and Tim Wilkin. And then just being so excited in the Gary Sheffield comps. And just before he ever came to the minors, just seeing the bat speed and be like, are you kidding me? And seeing 26 errors at shortstop and saying, well, that's not going to play. But then being told, no, that's just erratic. He's a wizard. Okay, all right. And then he comes up and I get super excited. And even before he gets up, remember that it was me and Mac talking to Theo Epstein. And Mac said in spring training, how about a cookie? Can we get a cookie? We need something to watch. And Javier Baez was that cookie. And Theo said, I'm not giving you the cookie. I'm going to wait until the whole meal is done. So I go back to that point with the narrative. But then when I saw him in his first stint in the big leagues, I was convinced that that swing was just too damn long. That load up is too involved, just the giant leg kick and just the way the whole mechanism comes back and then goes through. He's never going to catch up to a major league fastball. He'll have to guess so early. So yeah, I wanted to trade him to the Mets for pitching. Yeah, that's me. Hi, how are you? Zach Wheeler, Steven Matz, those were two of the names that were rolling around. Matt Harvey, no, too injury prone. But Wheeler or Matz, let's talk.
I kind of feel like Matt Harvey might not be a bad move for the Cubs
right
the
now?
Rest of the way.
It's interesting. He's certainly throwing well. And they might not have to give
well
up much.
Enough. Yeah. I mean, because really, you might just end up in a situation where you just need innings.
They need clarity from Darvish so they can know what the hell to do.
That's
what they're waiting for.
I have been saying for the last 3 weeks, get Darvish out of your mind. Like, if this
you can't
is,
write that book yet.
I don't mean for his entire length of the contract.
No,
I mean
know.
For the season.
I don't think they're writing that book for the season yet. I mean, I understand how you would feel that way. And I understand the conversational effect on talking about it that way, because it certainly is black and white. But you know those guys don't think in black and white.
No, they don't. They see in color.
Nuance. It's true. Lots of colors.
Yeah, it's important. Those are important things.
I feel like danger lurks around every conversational corner.
Well, we're just talking baseball.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Baseball.
Good call.
That's all we're doing. Is talking about baseball.
All right, you feel bad now about bringing stuff into the movie theater, or are you over it? Have you ethically come to terms with that?
Because I'm not at the level of some of our listeners, I feel okay with it. Because I'm not bringing in a full case of booze, I feel okay with it. I'm not bringing in 50 McNuggets, although I would love to share with someone if they brought 50 McNuggets. I would be like, can I have one? I'm not bringing in White Castle sliders.
So, speaking of a case of booze, what is the best thing you have ever been sent in the mail to the radio station after merely having discussed it with no agenda? You literally just said, man, I love this stuff. And then holy hell, this arrives. Because do you remember? Because me and Manoli, we were talking about scotch and just how much we liked scotch and the Balvenie people.
Yes.
Did I give you a bottle?
No, because I'm not really a scotch drinker.
I shared some bottles. I know I gave Maddie a bottle. And then
shocking.
Then he repaid me by stealing the marsh peg.
Are we going to talk about that now?
You know, I don't know.
Do we know he stole it, or is that just a rumor?
No.
He told you?
Oh, yeah, I've seen it. I've seen a picture
of it. He has a ransom note of the marsh peg?
He has a ransom photo of that thing. Yeah.
That's messed up.
I agree.
All right, so let me answer your question.
So anyway, that was mine. It was a case of booze.
I had a conversation on the air about going to Mellow Yellow in Hyde Park over on 53rd Street.
Okay.
With, at the time, I believe Mel and I had just gotten engaged. And we had French toast. And I was like, man, it was so good. It was on Hawaiian bread and blah, 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 blah.
Fabulous.
Right? And then like a week later, the Hawaiian bread people sent me like a whole bunch of bread.
Oh, the King's Hawaiian
people?
Yeah,
King's Hawaiian.
That stuff is crap.
And I said, this is great.
Oh, God.
This is great. I had just gotten a grill. Like, I was out there making stuff with King's Hawaiian buns. I was like, and I was sitting there going, why did they send this to me? Why did they send this to me? Like, I don't remember them being a sponsor.
You didn't even shout them out by name, necessarily?
No. I was literally just talking about Hawaiian bread. Mm-hmm. I wasn't talking about King. It was a handwritten note.
Incredible. It's amazing. It's the power of the medium, which still does exist. I think it's a good time for me to talk about how much I love money. American money. The way that it's made, the way it feels in your hands. I support the production and the use of American currency. My name is Matt.
Do you also enjoy when you take like a cash thing and then like let's say you're walking into a casino and
I don't know what you mean. I heard that came up today. I texted a couple of people in my life that I was enjoying the day watching France and Belgium in the friendly confines of the Horseshoe Casino playing a 2-5 no limit game.
Let's say that you take the cash and then you turn it into chips. And then you take the chips to a table.
Uh-huh.
And then they
just give them away.
That's what I did today. Deal you two cards.
The last time, Terry Bores.
Well, he'll be back here next week.
I thought I was getting played off.
I literally
thought, oh my God, he went too far.
It is not the Oscars. We are not playing you off the show.
Wow, what got dumped? What button does Mitch have?
From home.
From home. The home dump is in effect, which is my favorite kind of dump, for the record.
I remember the first time that I had seen a dump button installed in a PD's office.
Was it Mitch's or somewhere else?
No, it was Drew's.
Oh, Drew.
Drew
okay.
had one.
Oh, Drew.
And I think it had something to do with North. I'm not 100% sure. But he
was
had
this
it.
Before Hug a Black Guy Day or Hug
no,
a Jew Day?
It was like way after that.
Was there was Hug a Black
yeah,
Guy Day, right?
I mean, yeah.
And Hug a Jew Guy?
Was there a Black Guys Sound Like Hawk Day or something like
oh,
that too?
Right, Black.
There was yeah, Black Hawk.
Is that what it was?
Was it that?
Yeah.
I remember that being a thing.
That's what before he talked about Antonio Mora. Mora.
I mean,
should...
you can probably just
yeah.
stop right there.
All right.
But yeah, I remember seeing the dump button. Like it was like, I think Mitch still has a version of it
he
of
does.
His office where it's like a
does.
Big silver box with a big red button on it.
Yeah, and he's got the nuclear codes there as well.
It's handcuffed.
Just to type those in.
It's handcuffed to his wrist. That's yes. why he's always here at
right.
3 in the morning.
It's the beginning of war games every time Mitch wants to hit the
Would
dump button.
Would you like to play a game?
This is why we're the Score Middle Children, because I can make references like that and you understand them.
Let's play Global Thermonuclear War.
How about a nice game of chess?
Oh, Ally Sheedy. Oh, delightful.
So I got one more segment. You want to stick around?
I have absolutely nothing to do.
More of Matt Spiegel next, as he got nothing to do here on The Score.
Baseball.
Well, you gotta leave. Take down some summertime. Give up just a night.
I thought you were going to take this one, man. Hit the post.
That's Frank Ocean. That song, Self Control.
Incredible. Is it a theme song now?
It is. No, for these two segments, I'm trying to exercise some self control. But
tell the truth. Is that why they gave you a partner next Friday? Is that what that's what it is?
No, I don't know. No, I'm looking forward to that. Eric Edholm's a great dude.
Yeah.
It's me and Eric Edholm. I'm looking forward to that very much.
Edholm is going to be with me on guest week on Monday.
Because awesome.
All-Star break, we usually bring guests in. So far, we got commitments from Sierra Santos, Layla Rahimi, because you know we visit with her once a month. Her segment is called The Monthly Visitor. She made that name up, not me. Eric Edholm is going to be on the show. The D and Davis guys, they're going to be on the show next yeah. week. So, and Edholm is going to be on Monday night, I believe, at 9 o'clock. So we're going to have a good time. You'll have
That's
a good
awesome.
Time with him too.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I know he's a big jam band guy, a Fish fan, and other music stuff comes up every once.
You know
in a while.
Who you all should put on the show since you were producing my show earlier.
Yeah, no, really. Thank you. Tell me how to do radio.
I'll produce yours. You should put Michael Beller on with you guys.
I am a fan of Michael Beller's work.
He's a fan of yours.
I know.
He's a huge Tributosaurus guy.
I saw him last week. We became the band at Fitzgerald's at the Great American Music Festival.
Oh,
which
nice.
Which is one of my favorite events every year. Bill and Kate Fitzgerald out there in Berwyn. It's an awesome thing. And I saw Beller in the crowd, and we were eye-vibing for a moment.
He's a good man and thorough, and you should have him on your show because okay. he loves it. To talk Cubs baseball and everything else.
All right.
How's the Roopster?
The Roopster's awesome. The Roopster is 6.5 years old, which I'm sure is amazing to some longtime listeners. I ran into a guy at Bernsey's poker tournament who said, I remember where I was when you told Mac that you were going to be a dad. And that's the kind of crazy thing that we have with people when you've been on as long as we have and you're on every day. Like, that dude remembers when I told the world I was pregnant. That would be not a surprise to
that
some.
That would be a major news story.
Although somehow, you know, fitting physically. At the time, even more so. But yeah, Roopster's 6.5, and he's going to summer sports camp down by you in Hyde Park.
Yeah, I haven't seen him yet, and I was like, I know I'm going to see him at some point this summer, and because people over there do a great job with the camp, and the kids, like, they're always happy. Like, I always see him at like the end of my workout, and they're always, like, they're running and screaming around that place. It's great.
How do you not be happy when you're 6.5 years old and your job from 8:30 a.m. until 4:30 is to play like 7 different sports, including swimming once in the morning and swimming in the afternoon? And like, they let him bring toys, so he thinks it's show and tell every day too, and I let that happen because it helps get his ass out of the house.
I mean, it makes sense to me. I saw them teaching him floor hockey, and it was so great because you could tell I didn't have to hear a word, and I knew exactly what the instructors were saying. They were like, these are not weapons.
Yes, they are.
Don't. And they were like pantomiming, like swinging it at people, like, don't do that. And I'm like, oh, that's exactly what it is. That's exactly
well,
what they're doing.
That is the summer sports camp at University of Chicago is an outstanding place.
It is. Really good people over at UFC. And I did a podcast about the sports history of the University of Chicago,
which is incredible. It's, with Jay Berwanger and everything else.
What I found out, which is part of the podcast, and please, houseofl.libsyn.com, it's in my bio on Twitter and Instagram, is that Hubble played basketball at the University of Chicago.
Carl Hubble? Or the Hubble Telescope guy?
The Hubble Telescope
guy. Not Chris Hubble of Triple Threat Sports?
Not Chris Hubble.
Are they all related?
It's possible.
No.
But
that's amazing.
And
perfect. A man that brilliant also got his sports on at the UFC.
Won 2 Big Ten championships. I believe his combined fabulous. Record was like 34-5 or something. I mean, there's all sorts of stuff over there that's hiding around in that trophy case when you walk in.
I haven't really checked it out. I got to do it.
The Heisman's next there. Time. The first Heisman's in there, obviously. But like, and then I found out that they took one of the basketballs. There was another UFC astronaut, and he took one of the basketballs into space. One of the Hubble basketballs into space.
Wow.
It's crazy. Anyway.
Anyway, Frank Ocean there at the beginning of the segment is an emblem of what I've done with my time, among other things, Lawrence. I am here to declare Frank Ocean's Blonde the best album of 2016, having missed it completely 2 years ago. Like, I knew about it, and I knew people were talking about it, but I just didn't have time. You're doing radio every day. You're watching games. You're raising a kid. You're living your life. You're in a band. I've had some time, and I am obsessed with that record.
Can I offer you, since we're going back into the time machine, an album for your review?
Okay.
That you might have to change your mind about the best album of 2016.
Uh-oh.
A Tribe Called Quest. All Thank right. you for your service. We'll take it from here.
I got to check it. Is that the one that Andre 3000 does a verse on or does a track on? Because he does a track on Frank Ocean's record, too.
It's the happiest I've ever heard Busta Rhymes. Like, he's so happy to be doing stuff with Q-Tip and Fife and Shaheed Muhammad. And Ali Shaheed Muhammad is the person in charge of the soundtrack for Luke Cage.
Okay.
And I mean, he has brought in some incredible. Wow. Have you watched it?
I haven't watched it. No, I remember you raving about it.
I know you're not necessarily like a comic book dude.
But sometimes the movies are so good, and the shows are so good, it's undeniable.
Thomas Jones, like Bears running back Thomas Jones,
that's right,
is like a main character on the show.
Is he going to be there for the Urlacher party in Canton?
He might be.
But, everybody,
but Thomas doesn't really like drink.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like he's a body, my body is my temple type dude. So, but he might still
so
be there.
So am I,
but you should check it. I mean, I joked with him that now if you look Thomas Jones up on Wikipedia, it now says Thomas Jones is an American actor.
Isn't that amazing? Well, Andre 3000 is a fashion designer now.
That's amazing.
That's what he's doing. But anyway.
Speaks.
This was very fun.
It was delightful. I'm looking forward to you sitting in for me next Friday. With Eric Edholm, that will be good. And occasionally, I think that you should pop in on this show.
I am happy to. MattSpiegel.com is where you can find all of Spiegelia, including writings and music and links to everything, all recorded Spiegelia. And, of course, my baseball columns I'll be writing tomorrow on Jason Hayward on 670thescore.com.
I appreciate you, sir.
Thanks for the invite.
Anytime. Thanks to Herbie. Thanks to Studs for their hard work. Thanks to Matt Spiegel for joining me here in studio. I'll be back tomorrow at 6, I think. 7?
A little earlier.
Whenever the Cubs game's over.
When the Cubs game is over.
Probably like 6:15.
All right. Cubs baseball's next here on The Score.
Bye-bye. Oh, you tripping. I'm out of here anyway. Pizza.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.